Gene Harris on piano and the Scott Hamilton Quintet with Scott Hamilton on tenor sax with Blues for Gene. This is from their 1990 album, At Last. Herb Ellis on guitar, Ray Brown, one of my favorites, on bass, and Harold Jones on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday, when we had our great exercise in analyzing the environment of those hearings and what we were supposed to glean from them. And of course, with 2020 hindsight, we can now figure out whether we were on point. What do you think? 5 hours and 20 minutes of intense sparring between members of the House Intelligence Committee and directors of the FBI and National Security Agency, two key witnesses called to testify, were short, one must say, on yield. FBI Director James Comey and NSA Director Mike Rogers, by the end of the hearing, did little more than say there was no evidence yet to substantiate President Donald Trump's claim that former President Barack Obama wiretapped his campaign headquarters during the 2016 presidential election, and an investigation into Russia's alleged interference in the election, ostensibly to help Trump defeat rival Hillary Clinton, was ongoing. So that pretty much was the yield yesterday. It was intense interest. There was a great deal of coverage. There was a lot of cloak and swagger. But in the end, what did we learn? So now we go back. We started this exercise by discussing from a journalistic point of view, just purely the mechanics of journalism, how things are covered. And when we have a major story like this, the most important thing before you even write one single word, and this goes well, this bodes well for people outside the field of journalism, that's regular folks like you and I, this way of retraining your mind will work out quite well for you. Because you have to understand there's a lot pushing our interest in a particular story over other things that we should be worrying about. We get excited because they make us get excited. But really, when you stop and you consider the totality of the thing, even before a word is said, you will know what to anticipate as the outcome. You just know. You don't really have to, and I'm generalizing here, what I'm saying is that in paying attention to the environment of a story or a situation or a news issue or development, you will get into aspects of the event that will bring new light to you about what is actually happening. What is actually happening? And also, what is really the story here? So, having done that bit of work, putting our minds into appreciating the environment of the story, and the, you know, on a political level, on a news level, on any number of levels, there are all these different environments that are created to have us appreciate exactly what they want us to appreciate about the story. And to pay little or no attention to what the story really is. So we return to that bit of homework that we did. We revisit the hearing yesterday, and we talk about what you gleaned from this exercise, from putting this exercise into effect. Were you able to come to an entirely different conclusion about what this story was set up to be for us all as consumers of information, and what you ended up determining to be the real story? Okay, 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We had quite a few people yesterday who weren't able to get in, so this is your chance. Mahat from New York, you start us off today. Thanks for calling.
Yes. pardon. Greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
One of the things that, there were a number of things that weren't brought up yesterday that I want to make sure that we're clear about, and that is, because I just about watched pretty much all of it, and I thought it was interesting when Adam Schiff started out talking about the possibility of, as he stacked up the what seems to be collusion, although Comey actually preferred to use the term collaboration. But of course, there was the assertion that Trump's assertion that Obama or the White House wiretapped him was not true. That was said several times, although Trump, of course, with Spicer, they have some way to dance around that. So that's really curious. But I think what's missing in some of this discussion is the role of the Russians in terms of it came out that the Russians definitely hacked the and did other means to try to turn the election in Trump's favor. There were also they affirmed that there was no direct getting into the actual election tallies. However, I did hear them say later that there were attempts to hack registration rolls and state election boards. And I think one of the things that we have to be aware of is that Russia under Putin, first of all, he's been in office for 17 years and he's about to get another round, I guess, until he's, you know, can't do any more. And he's basically, and a lot of this came out in a piece that, what's that name, Fareed Farrar, what's it, a guy on CNN, a producer.
Fareed Zakaria.
Yes, exactly. He did a documentary called The Most Powerful Man in the World. And that brings out some interesting information.
But let me ask you, because mm-hmm. I want us to zero in on this, because this is a very important exercise. There's a reason I thought we should do this, and that is to get us to recognize immediately when we're being played. For example, you just said that you believe that the Russians, in fact, did try to manipulate the election. I was not aware. Did the hearing produce proof of that?
Oh, well, that was definitive. In fact, that was, that's a fact. In fact, people like Rachel Maddow has brought on people like Glenn Kaplan, spelled with a C, who was brought into the Hillary campaign at one point when they realized that there were some problems with the computer. He was sort of brought in as a nerd to sort it out. And there was actual evidence. I remember him speaking about Russian language. That's a determined fact.
And they it is a determined fact.
Yeah,
I know that people were concerned about it. I know that there was a lot of talk about it, but I don't know that anybody has produced absolute, including the FBI, by the way, and the CIA and all the intelligence agencies. They, in the same way that they projected, it was a foregone conclusion that the hacking was done by the Russians. And then now they're saying, they kind of backed off under the direct questioning, they're kind of getting fuzzy, saying, well, it's under investigation. We are still investigating. But they had already announced conclusively that this was fact.
No. That is already been determined. And another aspect to look at it, if you go back to the hearing,
but
you will say that.
I still want to stay here. It was already determined by whom?
This is what the FBI got. In fact, the representatives wanted to know this time frame as to when they determine about the actual, and this is a pattern that Russia has, Putin in particular, has done in Europe. In fact, when they saw what happened with Dr.
Let's not expand. Let's deal with the absolute focal point here.
Yeah.
Throughout
the hearing, was they evidence actually talk
produced.
About
now,
the
this
fact
is,
that they know that there was hacking, and he also talked about other ways that they use, such as bribery, and of course that would come in.
Everybody does that. Every country that spies does that. Britain, France, the United States, Russia, China, they all do it. I'm saying we were yesterday, this is the environment. In the environment of yesterday's hearing, where one would expect fact, we didn't get fact. We got conjecture, and we got a kind of wishy-washy response from the intelligence community saying only that their investigations were continuing into this very matter. How
not
and to what
as
degree?
To whether... Not as to whether there was I'm talking about the hacking of the DNC emails and Podesta in particular. If you go back, you will see
we
that
still
that
have
is,
no. We have no proof. There has been no proof.
Well, first of all, the whole posture is that they can't be specific. And when you think about what the usual protocol is. The usual protocol is that when the FBI is doing an investigation, they did talk about this at some point, was that they don't even reveal there's an investigation.
And
now
that
because
is the whole point of yesterday's futile effort. The FBI and the NSA and the intelligence community, this is why we were going through this exercise. That was an expected thing if we really applied our stuff. The idea being there was to be no expectation whatsoever from any logical person putting this event into, a perspective and into the environment, studying the environment of these hearings. Okay, you have the top guys coming to testify. Automatically, they're not going to say anything specific that will bring new light to anything. They will hide behind the protocols that this is an ongoing investigation. We can't say anything much more than that. And they will selectively say those things that really won't make too much of a difference.
Generally,
they are not going to cooperate. They didn't before. And they haven't. They didn't yesterday, for the most part. They didn't say anything.
Well, I
not even under the expert questioning of Trey Gowdy and others, direct questions asking them about evidence. The hearing, after all, was to evaluate the evidence on these two major points. They didn't get it. They sat behind the tables and they gave a lot of blather and a lot of stuff was said, but in the end, they said nothing in the way of producing hard evidence. They produced no documents whatsoever. They produced nothing. And
well,
this is the point.
What okay? I heard, can I make a point?
Sure.
Yeah, what I heard is a definite acknowledgement, without getting into the specifics so much, was that the actual Russian hacking went down. That's what I heard. And it was 5.5 hours, and I saw just about all of it. Another thing is that when you think about Roger Stone, he was connected, and it came out on Rachel's show where basically they talked about Guccifer 2.0 and DC Links, where there was a direct link, and then later when the catch of emails and information was brought out, they actually referred to a cutout, and the representative called it an intermediate, where they actually discussed that in that instance that the hacked emails went to
I would say that's testimony, but that is not enough, not in that environment.
Now,
it
I'm
is
not
enough,
enough
to have somebody say, well, this is what happened, this is what I observed. We're not interested in what you observed. We're interested in evidence. Evidence. That's the only thing that matters when you're talking about stuff at this level. There is a charge, a very serious charge, on the table that a sitting president was wiretapped by his predecessor. And this is very, very serious. You don't come to a hearing talking this, just talking. Who the heck cares about what you say?
Well, in
what
that instance,
what evidence corroborates evidence? That means pieces of paper, a report, whatever it is. What evidence corroborates what any of these witnesses said yesterday? Nothing.
Right. Well, that was admitted.
Well,
that
that's
there
the
was
point.
No evidence.
That's the point. So
that
makes it a waste of time. And what we need to find out is when we take our time to listen to things and to observe how these things are being done, we must always remember that there are many agendas afoot that we probably have nothing no knowledge of, and we cannot fall victim to their persuasion that we should trust what they say.
Oh, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that.
So I'm saying it, that we have gone through this big hollyballooed kind of this ballyhooed event. And now we figure out, well, what happened here? Thanks for getting us started today.
Thank you.
Jean from Maryland, you're on the air. Hello, Jean.
Hey, Therese.
Yes, you're on the air.
You know,
hello.
You have spent a very long number of years forcing us to be specific and accurate with our commentary when we call. And so I'm going to make an effort today to stick to the rules.
I appreciate it. Go ahead.
So what I saw yesterday was a fraud. And I say that because I made an effort to pay attention when all this stuff began to develop. Steve Pachenik was very clear in his confession as to what he and a small band of retired intelligence people did in hacking the DNC. And the fraud that we saw yesterday was designed to cover the crimes that were exposed on John Podesta's email. And it was very clear what was exposed. The idea that voting was manipulated against Bernie Sanders. The idea that there was money that was changing hands in the campaigns illegally, outside of the normal transference of monies under campaign guidelines. And so when we talk about the Russians and we talk about WikiLeaks and all this other stuff, and with respect to Ma'at, who just hung up, I can appreciate what she's describing, but I think we need to take a couple of steps back and really look at the larger set of issues here. This display that we saw yesterday was about fraud and covering up crimes. I don't think it's about anything else.
I would disagree with you on your last point. It was very much about something else. And I'm hoping somebody would tell us what that something else is or was. It's a major, major task that this hearing was supposed to achieve, specifically as it relates to Donald Trump. Could you kind of give us, you think, an idea of what that major task was?
Well, I think, and I, if I can read between the lines of where you're going, I agree that there is a significant disagreement between what Donald Trump wants to do versus what the establishment wants to do, and that in large measure, Trump has gotten in the way. But that said, I don't follow completely down that path when you take a look at what's happening outside of this specific issue. For example, if you look at the cabinet that Trump has put in place, so we're going to lose things like the EPA. We're going to lose things like the Department of Education. We're going to lose things like the Department of Labor. And historically, conservatives have wanted to get rid of these agencies for years. That's happening now, and that's Trump's doing. You take a look at the seating of Judge Gorsuch. That's going to happen. Again, a prime desire of conservatives. That's happening right now. And so in making an argument that says this whole effort is designed to take a shot at the presidency of Donald Trump, I don't buy all of that because there's too much other stuff which have been long-time agenda items which are happening now that George Bush, number one, number two, couldn't do it. Ronald Reagan couldn't do it. Clinton couldn't do it. Obama couldn't do it. But it's happening now. And Donald
but
Trump
what,
hasn't
what
even been in office.
What you're
for
missing,
3 months.
Though, Gene, and I would ask you to consider that. I agree with the points that you made. But what was extremely significant was that, and different, was that we had a concatenation of interests. We had Democrats, we had Republicans, we had interest groups, we had a former rival who still timed her reappearance on the political scene just around this time to say she's out of the woods now and can concentrate on getting her groove back. But we had a whole bunch of people who had had no history, really, of working together toward one thing. But there they were yesterday, right in front of our eyes, working together to just torpedo Donald Trump. All of them.
With respect, I disagree. These folks have been working together for years.
Yeah, but
this is the immediate instance.
Here is a president who has managed to galvanize all these people against him. And the best way, this is not the end, this is one of the more effective ways to publicly dress him down and begin the process to accelerate the program, which is to take him out. And it looked very nice and official, and it's a very serious effort, and they're all about the business of democracy. But make no mistake, this was like a bullfight, you know. The bull, Donald Trump, everybody's having this little stabs at him to weaken him, and then finally, you know, the final blow where the bull is killed. So this is what we were seeing yesterday, I think. We saw the evidence of the formidable opposition that he's facing, who perhaps they did not sit down in a room and come to the conclusion that this is what they ought to do. But you have a natural sharing of interests here. And it was so blatant to me. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, this is something. We are witnessing an organized effort to take a president out.
I hear you, Trice. And with respect, I disagree with some of what you're offering in your last comment.
That's great. But here's the thing. Let's just keep an eye on this. And when I say take him out, I mean politically end his term in office for all kinds of reasons. They want it done and over with, and they want him out of the White House. They want him out. And we saw different ways in which that sentiment was openly expressed. And that was what was shocking to me, that something like this would have been all hush-hush. But I guess matching Donald Trump's abrasive and brazen attitudes, they came open with it. This is what the agenda is, a shared agenda. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Okay,
Casa from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Yatrice.
Hello.
How you doing? This is my first time ever calling.
Well, congratulations to you.
I used to listen to you back in the day, and I agree with you to some degree. I agree that they're trying to take Donald Trump out. Either they're going to take him out, or he is going to, you know, toe the line. They're going to make him toe the line. They're stressing him out. They're trying to make him look crazy. And I get sick of people talking about the Russians. Excuse me, how many governments have we overthrown and interfered with?
I mean,
people act like, huh?
I said, hello.
I mean, so why did I get, you know, even my friends, well, the Russians, oh, shut up. I mean, they took out Gaddafi and went into Iraq. And that's why we have ISIS and all these problems with immigrants. You know, they're not immigrants. What you call them?
Refugees.
Refugees now. And now you're going to talk about Russia. And, yeah, I saw that propaganda piece that CNN did on Putin. Oh, man, they made him look like a monster, like he's controlling Russia, the Russians, and he got rich off Russia. I couldn't even look at it. And yesterday my household was listening to it, I just closed my ears because, yes, Donald Trump was not the man they really wanted, and he's not controllable. So they're going to figure out either to take him out or they're going to make him an offer he can't resist, you know, and he's going to be a little subdued. Because I don't think he's as racist as people think he is. And people talk about racists in the White House. We had racists in the White House ever since George Washington. You know, LBJ was a racist, and Martin Luther King went up and talked to him, you know. So that's it. I'm tired of people talking about Russia and what they did and what they hacked. You mean to tell me that Russia's infrastructure as far as IT and computers is better than ours? Is that what you're saying? You know, but, is that what people are saying? You know, so I'm tired of hearing about Russia. They're just trying to give us a boogeyman so we can cut needed resources for people and put it in the industrial, I'm losing my words, and put it in a war machine. We got to have a boogeyman. So now Russia is becoming our boogeyman.
But specifically as it relates to the purpose of, or the purported purpose of the hearings yesterday, what emerged that, in your view, solidifies your point about the relationship between the system and Trump?
You know what? I have to say, I couldn't listen to the hearings. I know my country. I think about the history of my country, you know, and that's it. I mean, I couldn't listen to that garbage because, and I couldn't look at CNN. You know, at one point I was like, you know, this is too much. They're just trying to get rid of him. He's not part of the boys' club. You know, so.
All right. Anyway, well, it's so great hearing from you, and I thank you for calling and participating and offering your thoughts.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Newark, Dwight, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, you three. I would like
good afternoon.
To express how I feel about your show. First of all, it's like I'm speaking to a family member when we hear you.
Thank you.
I would like to say also that I am so ecstatic that your health is coming along well. And I'm a member of Reef Al, and I was there that Friday night when you came. When you came the Thursday night, I missed you, but you came back the Friday night again, and it just presented such a situation where we could really talk to you one-on-one, and I really appreciate that. Now,
thank you.
The phone call... I want to go back to one of your earlier shows where you told us you made us aware about all the people that were lining up behind Hillary Clinton, the banks, the insurance companies, Big Pharma, all the war machines and everything. Okay, so now I remember during the debate where Donald Trump brought up Hillary Clinton's emails. And Hillary Clinton began at that moment to talk about Donald Trump and his Russian connection. And I just don't believe that they're willing to back up off of that. Your earlier caller called and she talked about us needing a boogeyman. Now, Hillary Clinton came up with this concept with Barack Obama of the pivot to Asia. Now, I don't think that they want to really... I don't think that they're going to get the venom or either the bad guy concept or the devil figure that they're going to need to justify this $54 billion increase in the military. So I think that our country is going back to the same old boogeyman that we've always gone back to and victimize Vladimir Putin. Now, Mayotte, I remember her call, and she talked about using evidence that Zakaria produced and Rachel Maddow, I wouldn't believe anything that those two people said. And I think that there's a definite agenda in there to bring Donald Trump down. But I also agree with you wholeheartedly that what we saw yesterday was the intelligence agency coming right out and being openly combative with disrespect to the president. I've never seen anything like that before. Now, I think that Trump, I believe, would have the ability or the power to fire either one of those heads of the CIA or the FBI, but he won't because he's kind of caught in between a rock and a hard place. If he hires either one of those people because of their stance on the Russian hacking or either the Russian emails, he's going to look like some type of Putin sympathist. So he's looking that way now. So I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, and I think that we need to stick to, not us, but the media and the CIA, who are one and the same to me, must stick with the same script until the end, that Putin is behind everything, because there's a lot dealing on Putin being the bad guy. It can't be anyone but Putin and Russia.
Who was, in your view, noticeably absent from discussion yesterday?
You mean what topic or what individual?
Individual.
Barack Obama.
Okay, that's one. And name
okay,
another.
As far as the topic, I didn't hear them mention anything about any evidence at all. I haven't heard no evidence whatsoever about the hacking of the emails. The hacking of the email story is only something to get our minds off of what's actually happened. We don't want to talk about Podesta and what Podesta did to Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party and how it was fixed against him, but we would rather be distracted and look at the Russian connection to all of this instead of looking at the more pertinent connection is what's going on in most black people's party is the Democratic Party, and the man Bernie Sanders clearly did not get a fair shake in that.
Well, you would think that a hearing about the irregularities in the 2016 election, and you're right, much of this was sparked by who? Hillary Clinton.
And Utrecht, to answer your question, she wasn't mentioned either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She wasn't mentioned, and she wasn't there to testify.
Exactly.
And she wasn't there to answer the question, well, wait a minute, how did you know this?
But you
we're not talking about hearsay anymore. You have the ability, this committee has the ability to subpoena witnesses. It has the ability to compel their appearance. But we did not see Hillary Clinton come before this committee or being compelled to come before this committee and simply say, hey, wait a minute. You started this charge, which now the FBI and the intelligence community generally said that they are pursuing. Well, if you are the one who originated the charge or played a major role in originating the charge, would it not be logical that people would want to know how you came to this information?
Absolutely, Utrecht. The people do deserve to know that, and she should have been compelled to share that information with the people with such a drastic accusation like that. And she gets away with it when the intelligence agency or the people have not compelled her to give up what type of proof that she had for the accusation.
Exactly. So all of this stuff would occur to you when you just stay quiet for a little bit and put your brain in gear. Even as you watch the proceedings, your brain will constantly remind you that there's something off here. There's
exactly,
something
you
way
Teresa,
off.
And the thing that was off is that it was a dog and pony show. It was not intended to get into the meat of anything.
No.
It was just intended to seem as if it was to give us some type of coordination or some type of dance and event sparked fireworks. But with no substance at all, no evidence, no substance, no proof of anything, just merely accusations. We learned no more yesterday than we had known before, other except for one thing, how out and out nefarious that the intelligence agencies are moving against Donald Trump. Because the Russia situation is not going away. They will not let it go away. And that all goes back to Hillary Clinton. That all plays in Hillary Clinton's hands. Because she's the first one that came up with that scenario about Russia to get away from her involvement with the hacking. And there was no hacking. Julian Assange said clearly that these were leaks.
These were leaks. He said so. He actually said, gave the scenario in which the information was transferred to him. So at least we could regard that as testimony.
I think
this is what he said. But we can't get any definitive answers from the intelligence community at all, nor do we have access to the testimony of at least two key people, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, exactly.
Yeah. So very interesting. When you stop for a minute and you turn off the influences that become automatic, because we're going along with the program. We're watching what they show us. We're hearing what they allow us to hear. But we should also, create a space where we need to do our own thinking. Thank you so much. What a joy to talk to you today.
Thank you very much, Eutrice, and have a wonderful day. And I love you to death, Eutrice.
Thank you so much. Love you too. Well, let's see what Henry from Chicago has to say.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
Okay, hanging in.
All right. I'm gonna tackle this issue here. Honestly, all of the callers had brought up some cogent points. The last caller basically is more in line with my way of thinking, and he brought up a good point that I wanted to bring up, is the relationship between the intelligence community and the media, mainstream media. And the thing is that this basically is a fight that has been happening since Donald Trump has been campaigning for the presidency. We've all seen, the issues that the mainstream media and he has, and basically it's spilling over to his presidency. So generally, I'm just thinking that the mainstream media is just bringing in the armed wing of its organization, which is the intelligence community to bring down Donald Trump. But to me, I think, and this is just my opinion, maybe I might be wrong here, but to me, the real distraction is Donald Trump himself. Because the way I see it is Donald Trump represents the system, all right? And I think everybody is focusing on the man himself and his character and, whatever he says or whatever he tweets. Nobody is really looking at the system itself, which to me is the intelligence community. Obviously, we know the history of the intelligence community in this country all around the world. I mean, it has brought down governments. It has brought down countries. And we're looking at the intelligence community as this savior to save us from Donald Trump, which I think he's just basically being allowed to do all these things so the attention can focus away from them. So, that's just my deduction on, what has been going on the last, day or so in regards to this Russian, hack and wiretapping, which, and I want to reiterate and agree with what you and many of the other callers said, that no evidence is nothing. No hard evidence is nothing. They haven't brought in any hard evidence in any of these cases. So to me, that's a total distraction. That should be the first sign that this is a distraction.
I agree with your assessment that Donald Trump did a lot to just bring all of this on himself. I mean, he is really a kind of loathsome person, and his policies equally loathsome. But we're looking at it kind of objectively, if we can. Trump also, however, has taken aim at the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a different kind of Republican. He has broken that mold. He probably didn't understand what he was doing when he did that, because, you know, it probably fed his ego needs. But the fact is, he also took aim, an unusual action for a president of any party. But he took aim at the intelligence community as being responsible in part for a lot of the misery and the wars and the confusions that have occurred with respect to U.S. foreign policy and relations with other nations. He was really clear about that. Mm-hmm. So that certainly sent a signal to that sector of our community, our society, that this is a guy we have to watch. We heard from Steve Pachenik, I played the tape, who was a former PSYOPs expert within the intelligence community, talking about effecting a coup. He used that word.
Mm-hmm.
That people in the intelligence community is at war with itself. This is the whole thing. The Republicans are fighting with themselves. The Democrats are, well, they're too tired to fight, but they're fighting also against themselves. And we have the intelligence community at war with itself and at war with Trump, because the intelligence community had become so accustomed to occupying a space of authority and influence with any president. This president is saying, no, this is going to change. And he has called them out many times. Mm-hmm. He directly took aim publicly at James Comey. He directly took aim at the CIA and the FBI. So he is not fondly regarded within the intelligence community. So this is a major development here, and all the more considering the fact that as president, he is their commander-in-chief. What came out of the hearing, it was very subtly done, but it was about Comey and to a lesser degree, I forgot the name of the other guy, Roger. What was particularly interesting, and you'll see it was subtly done, it was about Comey reaffirming himself the way J. Edgar Hoover used to, that I'm king here, I'm running things here, you don't tell me what to do,
mm-hmm.
and you do not override my authority. You may be president, but you will have to obey me because I have the wherewithal to destroy you. I mean, it was done so subtly. But it was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comey communicated that not only yesterday, but before. He has, you know, refused at many times when he was asked basically to account and whatnot. He has observed no protocols at all. And this is the faction that Pachenik was talking about, the faction, the deep state faction within the intelligence community that doesn't see it as their primary purpose to follow their commander-in-chief or to take orders from their commander-in-chief, but the other way around. The mentality that they create and they support the commander-in-chief, therefore the commander-in-chief needs to pay homage to them. The commander-in-chief is subservient to them. It was a very interesting thing. A couple of times throughout the hearing, you see from the tone of James Comey in answering questions, he knew that it was expected at some point that he would be more definitive in his responses, but he didn't care. Because it was more important for him to symbolically communicate that he was part of that group that is mushrooming now, that group that's galvanizing itself for all kinds of different reasons, but they're coming together in agreement that Trump has got to go.
Well, Meatrice, I've always said this, that I always believed that I would see a second civil war in this country in my lifetime, and it looks like it might be closer than what I think it is.
Uh-oh. Well, I thank you for calling in today. As usual, some really good thoughts from you today. Thank you. Joe from Florida, you're on the air.
You used the word, yes. You there?
Yes.
Okay, you used the word yesterday that I loved, chaos. And you, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'm trying to paraphrase what you said. You said that you were getting nothing but chaos in response to the chaos. I don't know if you remember, you said that's pretty much what
yes.
you said, and I agree with you. But my question is, and not the question, but rhetorical question is, what do you expect? Well, these people are nothing but liars, cheats, and thieves, a whole bunch of them. And so they've operated in chaos and lies. And they may be afraid of getting caught because of Donald Trump and his approach. And I'm not a supporter of Trump, don't get me wrong, but he's got a different slant on things. And he's upsetting their little apple cart, and they're afraid of that. But you're only going to get a dog and pony show out of him, because that's all. They can't reveal the truth of what's going on. And I know you're into, and most of your callers are into details, but I don't follow the details because I don't care. It's all garbage. I don't trust any of them, any of them, what they say or what they do. And you don't know if it's for real or if this is just a cartoon, just a dog and pony show that they're putting on. And I don't think that the truth is going to come out of it. Your previous caller just talked about a revolution. I don't see that happening either, because the American people are just too small to address it, except maybe some of your callers. It's amazing what some of them had said. But let me ask one thing. You have to have an imaginary enemy, real or imaginary. That goes back to Machiavellian before, and George Orwell said it in 1984, there's an imaginary enemy. And you focus on that and you forget about what's really going on.
Well, the reason we did this exercise, and I'm so happy to see how people have basically, put it to good use. The reason we did this exercise was to train or retrain ourselves and our brains that no matter what they say the issue is, you independently have a different point of reference. And we also, if we look hard enough, you could see, there's the evidence right there. They're doing exactly what we suspect that they're doing.
Right.
So we're not hallucinating.
You don't know what they're doing in reality. They say one thing, and God only knows it. Who knows what's true?
I tell you. Well, thank you, Joe, for your call today.
I enjoy your show so much. I mean, so much.
Thank you. Same here.
Bye.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today, and I am so delighted that when we look at these things, we are able, independently of the media and its efforts to condition our brain, we're able independently to find our own way to the truth. Stay tuned. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crow. You can reach me at leadstories, leidstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege. I mean that. To be in your company. We see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.